Just continue that good work and open our understanding. You be the teacher. You show us the things you want us to see so that we can be a part of that great harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our theme verse is wonderful, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And Karen asked me to speak about the season of fall. And I said, you gave me the best one. I'm so excited. Fall is my favorite season. And I live in Pacific Grove, which is on the beach, in the ocean. Well, not on the ocean, but just up. And so I can put out all my fall decor, like, as soon as the fog lifts in August, and it's just wonderful. I love fall. I love the colors of fall. I love the fragrance of fall. Everything about fall is beautiful to me. The time of harvest is when the farmer gets to receive from all the labors he has put forth throughout the whole year. And as we've heard, as everyone has shared about their season, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And the harvest, if you will, is the payoff. It's the time where he reaps what he has sowed during the winter and the spring and born the heat of summer, and now fall comes. And if I asked four of you to go look at a particular almond tree, I'm also not a native Modestoan, and in the season that you were assigned, and then to come back and tell me what you saw and describe that tree, I would have four very different descriptions. In winter, you might report that the tree is pretty bare. It's like a bunch of sticks. And you might even say, I'm not even sure it's living. It looks kind of dead. In the springtime, you would say, oh, the blossoms, they're beautiful. The fragrance, the buzz of bees when it's a good bee year. It would be great. In summer, you would see leaves and you would see green fruit. You would be thinking, this is a productive tree. But in the fall, the early fall, you would see those almonds ready. They're ripe. They're ready to be shaken. You've seen those big shakers come, and they just shake all those almonds down, and there's this huge pile of nuts that comes about, the fruit of the farmer's labors. But if you came to me and told me those things in just your season, it would be incomplete because you didn't see all the seasons. You only saw one season. And in the same way that you can't judge a life by one season or a tree by one season, you can't judge a life just by one season. We have multiple seasons in our lives. We have the four that we get to enjoy every year. And those continue and continue and continue, just as we saw in the skit this morning. Well, what are some general observations that we can see in the season of autumn or fall? Well, the first thing that I always looked forward to when I lived in Modesto was weather change. I do not like heat. And I think that one year that it was 114 degrees, I just knew I was in the wrong climate. But the blasting heat of summer is needed to ripen the fruit, so it serves a very good purpose. But when fall comes, that's when the nights begin to get cooler and shorter. And it's actually something that lets the tree know, time to shut down the food-making factory. You see, because plants and trees use sunlight. This is a little bit of science, and I didn't know this, so this is good for me to know. Plants and trees use sunlight and carbon dioxide, and that kind of turns into this thing called photosynthesis, and it actually makes the tree makes and produces its own food. How cool is that? It makes a kind of glucose sugar that makes this food, and then a chemical called chlorophyll aids in the whole process, and so the tree's leaves are green. And when the days shorten, the tree says, okay, time to shut down. So we're going to now store all that food so that we can rest for the winter and be sustained. And when that happens, the green disappears from the leaves, and you see the absence of green, you see some yellow, and then, you know, we see those beautiful reds. That's the food that gets trapped in the leaves. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. So that's why we get those beautiful colors. The second thing I think about when I think about fall is it's kind of the finish cycle for the year. For many fruit-bearing trees and plants, the farmer is able to harvest and receive the rewards from all of his labors that he has worked so hard throughout the year. He or she is reaping from what they've sowed. And it's important to note that the bounty of fruit, or lack thereof, is a direct result of what's been done all year. Was there proper preparation of the soil for sowing or planting? Was there sufficient rain, sunshine, pruning, tending, pollinization, fertilizing? Were there storms? Was there pestilence that interfered with all the process? You know, I generally don't concern myself with all these things about how food is produced. I just go to the farmer's market on Monday, and I look at all the gorgeous produce, and I fill up my bag, and I just enjoy the fruit of someone else's wonderful labors. Have you ever heard of the TV show called Alaska, The Last Frontier? It's kind of a cool show to watch. And so it's about a homesteading family. They've been in Alaska for, I think, two or three generations. And they totally live off the land. So they have to produce all their own produce. They have to hunt and fish and raise all their protein. They have to kill it and clean it and store it and cure it and all that stuff. Otherwise, in wintertime, they'd literally starve to death. There is no grocery stores. In a spiritual sense, one could ask the question, can we spiritually starve or at least be really, really hungry through the winter seasons of life because you're not harvesting and storing up what you should have been doing all year long through the seasons that God was leading you in? You know, the food that we take in daily, the Word of God, He builds upon that in our life. That is the sure foundation, and He builds upon it. I wonder if we can sow so sparingly in our life and the lives of others, and perhaps in our marriages or with our children or our ministries, that the fruit is minimal and maybe not very sweet. What about the fruit that's supposed to remain? John 15, 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Are you asking the Father for abundant fruit? You've been appointed to bear fruit. It's not like something that you can sort of decide. You've been appointed by the Father to bear fruit. What about the last season of our earthly life? When your race is finished, what will remain? And what will the rewards be? Well, let's look at some scriptures to gain a better understanding of how to maybe answer those questions. First off, we have to kind of know what is the spiritual fruit that's being produced and harvested in our lives. And we've already heard the passage today, but it bears repeating, and it's Galatians 6, 22 through 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," or your rendition might say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Spiritual fruit looks like Jesus. That's what he wants produced in our lives, in all the seasons of our lives. Well, how do we do that? Well, we abide in Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He produces the fruit. We just abide in the vine. So we understand that. We need that. We have to stay grafted in the vine to produce fruit. And we don't produce it. He produces it in it. We just abide. We get that. But sometimes we might be tempted to think that we know better. And maybe better than the Father, who's the vine dresser. And we start pruning and shaping our life to our will, or what we think it should look like. When I lived in Ceres, I planted a dwarf orange tree. It produced fragrant blossoms, but very minimal fruit, because it was young and immature. And I fancied myself quite the gardener, and I had, you know, my garden gesso, and I thought I could shape this tree so that it would look pretty in the garden. And so I was always clipping and cutting and shaping and trying to achieve the overall look that I wanted. Well, the problem came when it produced weird hybrid fruit. I really wasn't sure what was growing, but it wasn't an orange. It was about three sizes, the times the size of an orange, and it was more yellow in color. And I thought, I need the help of an expert here. It turns out the vine of my tree had actually been a grapefruit tree. And an orange tree had been grafted in so that the tree would produce oranges. But I had been pruning it so incorrectly that I had cut away all the orange. And now it just produced weird hybrid grapefruit. You know, we as believers are grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ. And our life purpose is to reflect him, not shape our lives to produce some weird hybrid fruit of our own making. What might that look like? Well, part Christianity, plus some new trendy philosophy, and maybe some help, self-help from our girlfriends. We're just to produce fruit that looks like Jesus, that reflects him and Christ alone. Matthew 7:16-20, Jesus said, you will know them. Who's the them? Christians. You will know Christians by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Well, my orange tree was bearing bad fruit. I had cut away all those orange-bearing branches that needed to stay grafted into the vine to bear oranges. Only the Father has the expertise to prune and shape your life. So the question that I ask myself is, am I trying to shape my life in any way that looks more like my will than his will? You know, in this supersonic world of technology, everything today will be moving too slow tomorrow. And we can think somehow that the Lord is moving too slow in answering our prayers or producing the fruit that we think should be produced. We think somehow sometimes that if he's not moving at lightning speed, it's like dial-up. You know, he's just taking too long. And somehow that can then transfer over, well, he's not answering. Maybe he doesn't even really care about the season that I'm going through. Dear sister, I am here to tell you, Jesus is always worth waiting for in every season. And your God cares for you like none other. He loves you like none other. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." He works outside of our time. He works in his time. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It takes time to produce fruit. Psalm 37:3 through 5, "Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." That's what we do while we're abiding in Christ. The payoff, he will bring it to pass. We're to trust. We're to do good. We're to dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness, delight ourselves in him, commit your way to him, and he will bring it to pass. According to God's word, our position is just to abide in Jesus Christ and have his words abide in us. The Father knows how to fashion and shape our lives according to his perfect will, that we may bear fruit and that fruit will remain. Well, maybe you've been sowing and laboring all year, diligently praying, seeking the Lord, but the fruit isn't visible yet. Fruit is a natural process that just happens as one abides in the vine. The Holy Spirit will produce the fruit, and it will be sweet and abundant in his time. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap." We will reap if we do not lose heart. Some of you have very difficult challenges, and you're weary. The Word of God says, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Wait upon the Lord. He will bring it to pass. The wonderful thing about seasons is that they come full circle every year, and you can think back to the many good things that have already been harvested in your life. The plowing, the sowing you've done in your marriage has brought joy and love and peace and goodness. Continue sowing those things into your marriage, and you will harvest sweeter and more abundant fruit. Perhaps you've been diligent to sow the word into your children's lives, and that's producing wonderful fruit. You're training them up the way they should go. And they're walking in the fruit of God's grace. Or perhaps even in your own personal devotions, you've been digging deep. You've been a disciple this year. You're becoming a learner of the Word of God. And you're growing in Christ-likeness. That's great and wonderful fruit. And it's the fruit that will remain. Or maybe like me, you're a grandmother now. Many seasons have passed. The children are grown and gone. Perhaps you're widowed, as I am. And now you're alone. And you wonder if the Lord is still going to work that fruit in you. Will it ever be sweet again? Indeed, Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even in your old age, I am he, and even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you might be troubled and convicted by what's been shared today. The seasons of your Christian walk might have been blighted by sin, or the storms of winter have you stuck under snow and ice, and that translates into depressions and fear. You long for the warmth of the sun, the S-O-N, the newness of life that spring brings. I have good news. You can start today. Make a commitment to Jesus to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Be all in for Jesus. God is a restorer. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years the swarming locusts have eaten. Have you had seasons where you felt like the swarming locust just cleaned it out? And there's nothing. There's not even a green little leaf left to be had because it was just so difficult. The Word of God says that God is able to restore those years that the locusts have eaten. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, 12 and 13 says, therefore strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Sometimes the trials that come bring weariness and discouragement. I spent most of 2013 as a caregiver, and there were days of hanging hands and feeble knees. And I felt it I found that it was really helpful to go on what I call my praise walk. So after I had my personal quiet time, my devotions, my prayer, I would strap on my in-ears and turn on that praise music. And I would sing and walk by the ocean, and I would just pray and call out to God. And he brought such strength to the hands that hung down and the feeble knees. He brought healing to my heart. It was a hard place. It was a hard season. And yet he provided everything I needed, that I would be strengthened, and that fruit would be produced. Philippians 2, 14 and 16 through 16 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run my race in vain or labored in vain. I wonder how many seasons in our life are unfruitful because of complaining and disputing. The children of Israel were constantly complaining to Moses about provision. And in Exodus 16:8, Moses said, your complaints are not against us, they're against the Lord. If that's you, if you find yourself complaining about your life, about the season you're in, about the difficulty, don't be condemned, but be convicted and purpose today to live a fruitful life, full of thanksgiving instead of complaining. Be all in for Christ in every season. So to the Spirit, not to the flesh. If you're single, be all in for Jesus. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be a witness for purity in a perverted and polluted world. If you're married, be all in for Jesus. Sow beautiful seeds into your marriage, submission, kindness, gentleness, love. Serve your husband as you would the Lord. If you're a mother, be all in for Jesus. Raise those precious children the Lord has given you up in the admonition of the Lord. Be patient with their failures. We don't expect ripened fruit from an apple tree the day after it blossoms. It takes time for fruit to develop. Young trees need to mature before any fruit is seen. So too with little children. Give them time to grow, time to mature in their faith. Even if you wait into their adult years, keep praying, keep sowing into their lives and loving them. Never give up, because the Lord never does. And when we finish this race called life that the Lord has set for us, those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive the ultimate reward for our labors. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing." That cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12, they are the ones that have finished the race. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, we see all the saints that sowed into their lives those things that God wanted to do. And they reaped an abundant harvest. And even in chapter 11, you'll notice that some of those, you think, well, wait a minute. You know, Samson is in that chapter, and he had some pretty rough seasons where he wasn't doing so well. But you know the amazing thing about our God? He remembers all the good and forgets the sin. As we have asked him for forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, it is gone. And because they can do it, because they ran the race in faith, we can do it. We can run the race that God has set for us in faith. And each one of your lives is unique to yourself. The Lord Jesus has fashioned all the days that he has for you. And you will receive that crown of righteousness on the day that you finish that race. My beloved husband went to meet his Savior March 6th, a month ago tomorrow. His race is now finished. The beauty of Christ was so evident at his memorial. The beauty as evident as those fall colors of a life that ran and ran well. He read and obeyed the word of God every day, continuously purposing in his heart to love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, and all his strength, and with great faith and endurance and courage. For the last year of his life was just racked with pain and difficulties. He taught me so much as he ran that last chapter. He never, ever complained, not once. He waited on the Lord for his strength in everything. Wow, that spoke to me. And when the moment came for him to pass from this life to Christ, there was a group of us in the room, and we saw it. I saw the power of the resurrection of God. And he was gone. I saw a human tent, but Ted was gone. There was nothing so amazing as we all looked on that body and realized he's gone. That's the power of the resurrection. At his memorial service, hundreds of people came. Some of you came. And shared with each other how Ted had touched their lives as a pastor and a teacher and a friend. The DVD that was shown showed the seasons of his life. And it was a visual testimony of his faith. The many photos of him serving his family, serving in the church, his missionary journeys that we enjoyed around the world, but always serving the Lord in all things. The fruitful life that Ted experienced was a direct result of his faith and his love and his obedience to the Lord Jesus. He was the most amazing husband and father and Christian. And now he's received the fullness of his salvation in Christ Jesus. That song that we sang in the worship set just before I came up, "It Is Well With My Soul." In the last days, when Ted was mostly unconscious, I just kept hitting the repeat button on a whole set of praise music, and that was in there. "It is well with my soul." I wonder, sister, if you were to meet the Lord today, would it all be well with your soul? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus face to face and lay all those trophies at his feet? It's going to be so amazing. So amazing. Karen shared last night a quote from Bill McDonald, but it bears repeating. "Day by day, we are determining the rewards that we will receive and the measure to which we will enjoy our eternal home. We determine it by our knowledge of the Bible and our obedience to it, by our prayer life, by our fellowship with God's people, by our service for the Lord, and by our faithful stewardship of all that God has given us. As soon as we realize that we are building for eternity with every passing day, it should have a profound effect on the choices we make and the priorities that we set. What will you reap on that day when you meet the Lord? What fruit will remain as a legacy to those left behind?" Ted's life, though his race is finished here, the fruit that remains here is amazing and continues. Just as we cannot judge the life of the tree by examining one season, so all the days and seasons of our lives make up the course set for us by the Lord. Will you purpose this day to commit all the remaining seasons of your life to the one who loves you most? Living for Jesus Christ will be the absolute greatest investment you will ever make. Revelation 22:12 says, and it's Jesus speaking, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." Hallelujah. I say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Father God, thank you that this life is not the end. It is just the preparation place for the beginning of eternity. And everything that we sow and reap and the work that you're doing in our lives, the transforming work by your Spirit, is all preparing us for the day when we can sing that song face to face. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Father, you see each heart that is sitting right before you in this room. They've heard from your word, from last night to this morning in the winter and the spring and the summer and the fall. Would you, by your Spirit, quicken us that we would yield ourselves completely to the total work that you want to do in our lives this day, in this place, right now? Help us to be all in for Jesus. If we need to get things settled with you, if we need to get things sorted with you before communion, Lord, would you do that work in us? Would you pinpoint, even now as we're in prayer, would you pinpoint the place in our heart that perhaps you're wanting us to do something different? You want us to yield that up to you. You want us to surrender. You want us to lay hold of something that you've been trying to teach us and we've just been dull. God, quicken us even now. Do that needed and good work as we finish out this retreat and harvest all the good things that you've sown from last night until now. Would you do exceedingly abundantly more than we could even ask or think? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.